This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We're here on a Monday. I know you're all jacked excited, right? Probably not. But when we really realize what we've been privileged to manage and how we've been blessed, if you're listening in right now, you have access to this kind of encouragement, not just our show, but right here on the dial every day, all day long, encouragement. You're pretty blessed. And so hopefully that gives you a little perspective as we start the show. This is a call-in show where you call in and we talk all about life. 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283. Feel free to call in. We'd love to chat. And you can email in as well. Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. You hear the website there. That is the website where everything we talk about on this show lives, including the entire broadcast. Yes, we post it at stewardship.com right there for you, just in case you happen to miss a day right here on the dial. So stewardship.com is the place to be. Wanted this to be kind of an encouragement for us. I wanted to start off the broadcast today reading Daniel 4:34. We don't talk about the book of Daniel on the show very much, but Daniel 4:34, I was kind of taken back by this phrase, and at the end of the days, that's how that verse starts. And you've heard it all the time, right? And at the end of the day, I probably say that probably 10 times a day. And at the end of the day, have you ever used that? It's used a lot. My prayer is that this will be your prayer. And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And at the end of the day, I love that. So today, at the end of the day, I hope my prayer is you look at the entire day and you look back and say, man, I lift my eyes to the heaven and my understanding returns to me. I'm blessing the Most High. So that's my prayer for all of us. Again, the phone number is 866-357-3283. And of course, you can reach out on social media as well. Chris Brown on air is the handle. All right, we got our first call on the line from Denver, Colorado. This is Richard. Richard, how you doing?
Doing well, Chris. How you doing?
I'm better every day. How can I help?
I was calling in ask a question about paying off some student loans. I'm about a 30-year-old male, making roughly like 30-32K a year, kind of in a hole about 35 to 40K, and looking to start paying those loans off and maybe go through the Financial Peace University portion and start getting things together. But more or less, I've also had a question about paying off or if I should continue to pay for short-term disability in my workplace. I've kind of been doing that. Noticed a coworker going through some struggles who has had a injury in his rotator cuff, but was paying for short-term disability and didn't. Seems like he's fighting with it, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, why am I even paying for this if they're not going to cover?
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. All right. Well, so the first question was how to pay off this debt?
Yeah.
How to prioritize it?
Yeah, prioritizing it first versus, I guess, kind of having listened to your show before, paying off the debt usually first, kind of heard that through Dave Ramsey's, as well as just like doing your snowball kind of effect, but also like where does that tie in with tithing and giving kind of in between that. So
yeah, well, you definitely want to tithe throughout the entire process. That's not a giving thing. That's more of a returning thing. It's an obedience thing.
Okay.
And you're going to be able to pay off your debt way faster without that 10%. And that sounds funny math-wise, but doing it God's way somehow with his math and God's economy, he makes it happen quicker. And when we really show that we really believe in him. So tithing throughout the whole process, anything above and beyond the tithe, I would try to stabilize your present before you focus on the future. I would really take care of that, like 1 year, maybe 2 years, and just absolutely crush that debt. Then start thinking about, maybe giving to missions trips or something like that, or going above and beyond. But you want to make sure you just stabilize first and make sure you get rid of all that debt. Concerning the short-term liability, I'm actually not a fan of short-term liability anyway. I like long-term liability as you get further in the baby steps and you get over all your consumer debt, maybe start thinking about some long-term disability. The short-term disability, what we teach is that in your next step after you've paid off your debt, you actually have this fully funded emergency fund. That emergency fund, actually that cash on hand, serves as your short-term disability. You kind of self-insured at that point. And it's a lot easier to haggle with your money market account than those short-term disability insurance claims.
Yeah.
So that's what I would teach there. And it sounds like to me like you still have a little bit of confusion on a little bit what we teach. So I want to help with that. And I want to give you a free copy of the Total Money Makeover that'll walk you through all of these steps and when things need to happen. And I'll give you this good step-by-step guide that'll help you. Even at 30 years old, by 32, you can be completely debt-free and you could be rocking, which a lot of our listeners wish they could have. And if I can invest in that, I'd like to. So I'm going to give you the Total Money Makeover, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Stay on the line. I told you earlier, you can reach out on social media. Chris Brown On Air is the handle on all social platforms. And Corrine Mueller did just that, posted on Facebook. Hey, Chris, thanks for posting the daily verse, which is something that I do. Actually, I'm thinking like 400 or 500 straight days. I have put a daily verse out by 6 or 7 a.m. So if you guys want that daily encouragement, make sure you check that out. She says, I text it to my small group daily. So that's pretty cool. Way to go, Corrine. That makes me feel good that getting up early and doing that is worth it. So it's very, very cool. So I'm on Facebook. I post a daily verse. And if you'd like to see that each day, go to Facebook, like the page. And while you're at it, if you're not subscribing to the podcast, head over to iTunes and hit that subscribe button.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Picture this. You have a great job and plenty of money in savings, but you're afraid to take the leap into home ownership. What should you do, rent or buy? Well, the fact is, buying a home sets you up for building wealth. So if it's a reasonable expense in your budget, you're better off buying. Talk to my friends at Churchill Mortgage to help you build a smarter plan today. Call 855-LOAN-200 or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender. 761 Old Hickory Boulevard. Brentwood, Tennessee 37027.
Well, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I am your host, Chris Brown. And the phone number to call in is 866-357-3283, and you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Got an email here from Jerry. Says, I'm active on the board of a small Christian school and have some concerns about how to handle difficult collections. Every now and then, sometimes far too often, we find ourselves trying to handle the question of how to pursue collection of delinquent accounts. As Christians, we have the resistance to filing a suit, both because we have scriptural reference to not taking a brother to court, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, and because we want to be nice and reflect Jesus. Of course, I believe that we should avoid suing in every way possible, and yet we still have situations where all other efforts to collect have failed. I also don't believe that we are necessarily being responsible Christians by just writing off a bill. How, as Christians, do we balance financial responsibility with being compassionate or forgiving or just accepting the inevitable? Looking for biblically effective answers. Well, it's a little bit of a challenge there. And that's emails from Jerry. All right. So Let's break this down. You guys curious out there? Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 says we shouldn't sue a brother in court. So, case closed? No. The intent is that we should not take church matters into the court system and push non-believers that are looking on further from Christ. So, if it can be avoided, let's avoid it. However, there are civil matters. They should be avoided. You know, anything civil matters shouldn't be done in court either if it can be avoided. But there are times. We see in Acts chapter 21 and 22, they talk about Paul being arrested. You guys remember that? And wrongfully accused of a crime that he did not commit. The Romans arrested him, and the commander brought Paul inside and ordered him lashings with whips to make him confess his crime. And as they tied Paul down to lash him, Paul said to the officer standing there, "Is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been tried?" Now, Paul used the Roman law and his citizenship to protect himself. There's nothing wrong with using the court system as it's been done with the right motive and with the pure heart. Now, Matthew 18, 15 through 17 says this, "If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense." Okay, one-on-one, right? "If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Yay, way to go." Sometimes it doesn't work that way. "But if you're unsuccessful," starting in verse 16, "but if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses." Okay, so far we're not in the courts, right? Verse 17, "If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then, if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector." It means handle this stuff outside the church. Get to the point, get some resolution, and what is the next? Well, the next is going to court. Okay, that's the only way, that's the system that's in place. Doesn't mean you have to be a mean while you're in the courtroom. Doesn't mean, again, soft answer still turns away wrath, but you still got to do what's right. The real learning in this situation, and this will not be popular advice, is Proverbs 17:18. This is the Bible that says this, okay? "It's stupid to guarantee someone else's loan." So that's usually about co-signing, right? But the bottom line is you're fronting money for someone to get an education. So this stuff's going to happen. People are not going to pay back. Proverbs 11:15 says, "He who is a guarantor for a stranger will surely suffer from it, but he who hates being a guarantor is secure." Anytime you're going to loan money, this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen. So hopefully that helps you out, Jerry. We really appreciate the email. Well, if you're looking to sell your home, did you know the real estate agent that you choose has the power to make or break your home sale? Yes, some of you have been there before. I know there are hundreds of agents right where you live, so how do you know which one is the right one? Well, first, I recommend finding an agent with the heart of a teacher who has at least 5 years of experience and closes a minimum of 40 homes per year. And that's why we created the Endorsed Local Provider Program. All of our real estate ELPs are in the top 5% of agents nationwide. So if you're looking for a top agent, not just an agent, a top agent that you can trust with your largest financial asset, make sure you work with the very best. Just go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, then you want to click on Find an ELP to get started. Don't cheat yourself out of thousands of dollars when you sell your home. Go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, then click on Find an ELP, and you'll be all set to go.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And we want to thank you because we've been getting your questions, your testimonies, your success stories. If you've had difficult times and God has brought you through those times and you're on the other side now, share it with us. And you can give hope and encouragement to others. Call us at 866-357-3283, 866-357-3283. Or you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, folks, got an email here from Barbara. Says, Chris, I listen to your show every day via podcast. You're always telling people to get a $1,000 beater car. Can you post the do's and don'ts of finding a reliable beater? We recently bought a $1,300 beater that didn't even make it home, even though the test drive, the initial impression seemed fine. The engine overheated 1/4 mile from home and burned up. I'm selling the carcass today for $275. Thanks for your help. God bless you. Barbara, I must say, you're being very kind about this. Thank you for your help. It almost seems like tongue-in-cheek. Like, you told me to get a beater and it blew up in my face. So I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You clearly got ripped off, Barbara. I'm sure there's no coincidence this broke down right after you bought it. So some of the do's that I would say, Barbara, run a Carfax check at carfax.com. That's always worked for me. I would always run a purchase, especially a $1,000 car is a higher risk than a more expensive car, but I would run it by a mechanic. Some of the things that I wouldn't do, I wouldn't buy a car, let's say, on the side of the road. You could get one. Some of you listening in have probably bought one on the side of the road before, and you're fine. But I just think your risk is higher when there's no accountability to the owner. And I would stay away from, obviously, shady used car dealers. The dealership is kind of making you feel funny. There's a reason. Run. So I'd stay away from that. But you're just looking for something with a little more accountability, and you're obviously paying attention to how they appear as people. Do they appear to kind of have something up their sleeve? You're just kind of looking for that kind of stuff. But I will encourage you in this, Barbara. There are lemons on all products at most price points. So don't give up. You will find one. Just try to run it by a mechanic first next time. But I hate that. Sorry about that, Barbara. On the line, we've got John calling in from Texas. John, how you doing?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm honored. How can I help?
Okay, so I'm doing Financial Peace University right now, and I've got a question about taking control of my finances in a way that I'm being a godly steward of what's been what he's given to me.
I love it.
I've got kind of a unique financial picture, and I was interested in getting some feedback. I could tell you everything. What kind of tidbits do you think would be best to give you first?
Why don't you give me the overarching of why you think your situation's different?
Okay, great. So I'm a business owner. I earn about $100,000 a year.
Okay.
I have my home. First of all, it's kind of a unique thing. I've got a $170,000 interest-only fixed-rate mortgage that's for 7 years.
Okay.
And the reason I was advised to do that is because I have enough equity in the home already that it would tie up investment assets that could be used to earn other money for me. I have about $550,000 in the stock market, and of that, or in that account, approximately $170,000 of it is collateralized debt. So, meaning my loan is collateralized by my assets in the stock market.
Gotcha.
And my question is, I have a $30,000 vehicle loan, and I've got another leased vehicle as well. I've got 3 kids. I'm married, and we have another child on the way. My question is, I was talking to my financial advisors, and they were suggesting that the Dave Ramsey's methods of minimizing debt in the way that I don't know. He just kind of alluded to the fact that it wouldn't necessarily apply in my situation, and that kind of caught me off guard a little bit. And I don't think that it would be ill-advised. Maybe it's a different strategy that I would use. But I was just kind of asking for some feedback on how to improve my position so I'm being a more godly steward of my assets.
Man, I love your perspective, and I love your tone and your humility. Love it, love it, love it. God can use that in a powerful way. The bottom line is, you got an advisor that loves debt leveraging, and he's only looking at it from a math perspective. It's pay 3% or 4% interest so you can gain 9% on your return. So he's looking at that 6% difference.
Sure.
But when we look at debt, you can't just look at it through a vacuum. You can't just look at it by isolated. There's other variables involved, and it's called risk. And, you know, if you were to, looks like your entire situation, you could probably just go ahead and move some stuff around and be completely debt free and probably have a couple hundred grand in cash flow or cash just sitting on the side that you can reinvest. You just have everything so discombobulated that you it's hard to
confused at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to even tell what your net worth is. When he says it doesn't really apply to your big dog status, I know you're not saying that, but he's saying that. Here's the things that do apply. Okay, Proverbs 22:7 says the borrower is enslaved to the lender, not when your income is such a level, and not when it's tied to a business. And there's no part B to that verse. It's just
the caveats.
Yeah, Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another, and you owe people stuff, and you don't even need to. Proverbs 21:20 says that in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. All these things apply to your situation, to my situation, to everyone's situation. It's not like it applies or doesn't apply. And so he's just not looking at it from a spiritual standpoint or a conceptual standpoint. He's just looking at math. Sure. So from a math perspective, I totally get it. I've been there before. I've debt leveraged I've made $80,000 a year. And when I was making $80,000 a year, I borrowed $1 million in 1 month. And it came back and bit me because I was just looking at the math. Oh, I could just borrow at 8% and make 30.
Sure.
I don't see your advisor's standpoint that all this debt is actually helping your ability to earn anything extra. I think it only hurts you. I think if you were to free up that $200,000 or $300,000 that you've probably got, maybe even more. I'm just doing some loose math.
It'd probably be about $380 if I got rid of the collateralized loan amount. I know you can empathize with kind of my concern here. You know, that's a significant amount of money for me to, you know, take out of the stock market, you know, quote unquote. And it does intimidate me to minimize the earning potential of those dollars. That's why I'm confused about what to do, because you're right. The math sounds really great. I get to borrow at LIBOR plus a couple of percent, which is nice. It's weighing on my shoulders still.
Yes,
too.
Weighing on your shoulders. So, that's huge. It's a great way to put it. The bottom line is by the end of the, let's say a month from now, you could be laying in bed at night with absolutely zero debt and be bringing home $8,000 to $10,000 every single month and not having one bill and being able to put that in diversified funds, because at least Ecclesiastes 11:2 also applies to this scenario. And if you're just in stocks, which you didn't say that, but if you're just in stocks, you're not diversified enough. And what I'd want you to do is when you reestablish your investments, I'd want you to do it in diversification. So a Roth IRA, if you're single, you don't qualify for the Roth anymore, but maybe it's a traditional IRA or it's a 401k. But I'd want you to get diversified as well. But you are going to enjoy life so much more when you have no debt. Right now you're carrying around all of this, trying to figure it out. I don't like anything about it. Fortunately for you, it hasn't come back and bit you. And if you're not diversified enough, fortunate for you, this is a great time to sell and to reinvest. So anyway, I think you've probably been very fortunate thus far, but I would get out of debt as soon as possible and get things. Do you have the total money makeover by any chance?
I do. It's Guide to Money.
Okay, so
Complete
you've...
Complete Guide to Money, I believe, is the title.
Okay, so you've taken Financial Peace University and you got that in the kit.
Well, I'm in it right now, yeah. This is our first week we're doing it at my church. And it says, like, save $1,000, and I can do that. You know, that's pretty simple. It's obviously in my situation. I have these other, like, psychological burdens that I'm kind of struggling with that I appreciate you addressing.
Yeah.
I'm considering selling my house, you know, and just kind of putting that money back in the stock market, you know, and sizing down to something more, or, you know, into investments or otherwise, and getting into something more, reasonable.
I think there's a lot of wisdom there, and I think there's nothing wrong with having a big house, but there is, if you think through the square footage that you probably are paying for that you never use, There's a, just think through that.
I don't go into about five rooms in my house
exactly
on a regular basis.
Exactly. Think about investing that. So
yeah, anyway. No, I agree.
You're paying interest on things on rooms you haven't walked into.
All right.
Well, it's all good. Hey, listen, you're going to be just fine. I'm just glad you're asking the questions. I'm glad you're in Financial Peace University.
Chris.
Yeah. Stay on the line. I'm actually going to send you a Total Money Makeover as well. It's a tremendous one-stop shop resource. So I'm going to send it your way. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks. All right, folks, very good calls today. It's been a great pleasure and an honor. Don't forget to visit stewardship.com. and click on Find an ELP and get started with a real estate agent right there in your area. God, I pray for those who are listening in today. I pray that they are filled with hope. I pray that they are encouraged. And I pray that something was said today that will allow them to be better stewards as they seek to manage all of your blessings your way and for your glory. God bless y'all.